You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on in to Dana and Parks. Go Argentina and England.
Go Kansas City.
I love this. The mayor posted this earlier, and I would say the same thing about you, Dan. He said, I'm Donna Kelsey today. I am Donna Kelsey in the Super Bowl today as we root for both England and Argentina, our hometown teams. And we walk in today. You're all decked out. You've got an Argentina hat on.
Yes.
The England jersey.
And underneath that, I have an Argentina jersey. So
it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch.
I am very happy that two of the teams based in Kansas City are playing today. I'm very happy they made it this far in the tournament. From a soccer fan, however, I cannot think of two teams that I would like to be knocked out more.
Really?
Yeah, we never want the team who won the last World Cup this far in.
That's probably true.
And, I mean, England is just England.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these two teams have a lot of history. And they're already being chippy on the pitch. And, yeah, there's a lot of
little chippiness. Little chippiness.
Between these two fan bases.
Doesn't bother me at all, little chippiness. Mm-hmm. Sam, tell me about your night last night.
I took in my first show at Saltstone, otherwise or officially known as the Morton Amphitheater.
And?
First, I'm going to start with the positives. It is absolutely stunning. The outside facade when you first walk in, the view of it as you're pulling into the parking lot, the view inside the venue itself, all the way from the lawn to the middle section seats, the front seats, the pit.
Just cool.
Everything looks incredible. The sound was impeccable. The way that they designed that metal cage on top to protect people from the elements, it does not reverberate the sound in any way.
You
could hear it crystal clear all the way in the back. I'm assuming you could probably hear it crystal clear all the way in the front as well.
So those are the pros.
Those are the pros.
I cannot wait to return. However, and I just got to be honest, parking is something they need to work on. There is one entrance and one exit.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of people commenting on the egress and ingress.
Wait, there's one way in
and one way out.
Oh.
It is four lanes.
Okay.
You get off on Horizons Parkway.
Yes.
And there is one left turn lane into the venue.
Oh.
One.
That seems like an oversight, a little bit.
Had I not been with somebody who didn't care and just drove down the premier parking lane and paid the $70 for the premier parking, it probably would have taken an hour and a half to get in.
Just to get in.
It only took us about 30 minutes because we skipped the line because we paid for the expensive parking.
Okay.
Got to park right up front. That was super cool. I'll definitely consider the premier parking in the future just to avoid that nightmare.
Yeah, $70.
The other thing, the other negative, they need to figure out the lawn situation. I have heard this from other people who went to different shows and had lawn tickets. They are intentionally selling out the lawn, and it's a problem. So you walk in, and right in the concourse, as you walk in, they have a bunch of different booths where you can rent a chair to take up to the lawn with you.
Great idea.
Super cool idea.
Great idea.
Nice big comfy chair, cup holders on each side.
Love it.
Great. Except if you're not there 2 hours early, all the chairs fill up all the lawn space, and you have nowhere to go.
Oh,
I had lawn tickets. I was there for 2.5 hours for the opener and then Tyler Childers. I at no point set foot on the lawn.
There was no room on the lawn.
Nope. I could have walked in between a couple of chairs and just stood there.
Yeah.
But I also didn't feel like getting in a fight.
Right.
So my buddy and I just walked around the venue.
You roved.
And we found a spot to stand and security came up and said, hey, you can't stand here. So we moved 20 feet over.
Did you say to them, hey, just FYI, we bought lawn tickets. There's no room on the lawn.
I know my rights.
I asked the security guy the second time that he moved us, where would you like us to go?
Yeah.
And he said, I don't care. You just can't be here. And I'm like, well, first of all, not how you handle that. Second of all, I got nowhere to go, dude. So overall, I can't wait to go back.
You should have pulled a Karen. I would like to talk to your manager.
Yeah.
I'm not doing lawn tickets again because that was an absolute disaster unless I can get there right when the doors open and get up there and claim a good lawn spot. But I cannot wait to go back. Stunning venue. They did a great job.
Here's my question. With the one way in and one way out, how long did it take for you to leave?
So that's also a hack with the premier parking. It took us 30 seconds to get out of the parking
lot. Okay.
But that's because there is a designated exit lane.
Right.
If you're in the fancy parking, whereas everybody else gets funneled into the three lanes.
Why not create one more way in and one more way out?
The location, they can't.
Yeah, they can't.
They're butted up against the river. Big warehouse on one side, the river on the other, the highway on the other.
From the text line, Sunday night took us an hour and 45 minutes from their home in Lenexa to their parking spot.
Another very little thing with logistical on the parking is when you're pulling in, there's a bunch of signs that say lane 4, premier parking, lanes 1 through 3, general parking, but the lanes aren't numbered.
Okay.
So how do you know?
Is it left to right?
Is 4 on the left? Is 4 on the right?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Okay.
So we eventually figured it out. We got in there. We had a good time.
But
the sound was incredible.
$70 for the premier parking to get
bucks.
In and out.
Yep.
How much is it to park regular?
$20. $20 if you pay online, $25 if you pay at the gate.
Okay.
They're charging for parking?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
$20 a car.
Okay. Oh. So. How do I feel about that?
And then, of course, there was a bunch of drunk teenagers that they were trying to kick out, which disrupted the show, but that's not the venue's fault.
No. Anyway. You're always going to have the drunk teenagers. Yeah. Come on, Sam. You know that.
And when did I become the old 29-year-old fuddy-duddy that's sitting over there? Hey, pull it together, kids.
You are the old guy.
Back in my day.
Coming up on the program today, you heard sad news, and he is facing this with courage and bravery, of course. You would expect nothing less that Captain Sullenberger of the Miracle on the Hudson fame announced yesterday he is battling Alzheimer's disease and feels okay now, but in his statement basically said, I'm going to need a lot of courage and a lot of people rallying around me, just like we did when we landed that plane. And said for the short term, it means when I see you, I might not remember your name, or I might tell a story more than once or ask a question that you've already answered. And he released this very lovely statement about his diagnosis. That comes along with this story today, that we now have a blood test that may predict who is likely to develop symptoms in 5 to 10 years. And I want to know, of all of the big bad ways that disease or illness could strike you down, if there was a test and you could find out, would you want to know? And we already have some of this technology. Of course, if you've done 23andMe or the Ancestry.com, it will tell you whether you have the gene, the breast cancer gene. Now, that doesn't mean if you don't have the gene, you're not going to get breast cancer. Doesn't necessarily mean if you do have the gene, you are. But you can at that point start looking at averages and weighing your options. They also have one of those tests. And I remember because I was on it, I do not have the gene that predisposes you to Alzheimer's disease. Doesn't mean I wouldn't get it, or if you don't have that gene, you may not. If you have the gene, doesn't mean that you will. But again, you have a better information in front of you to make different choices maybe moving forward. I want to know specifically with Alzheimer's, would you want to know, and how would it change the way you're living your life? Do you cut out sugar? Do you start exercising? Do you try to get more days in front of you? Or
do you sit there and panic and actually cause it to
get worse,
kick in sooner because you're just constantly afraid of losing your mind?
The anxiety and the stress that comes with it. And I would ask, not even with Alzheimer's, with any of those diseases or disorders, would you want to know? We'll talk about that today on Dana and Parks. We've got a whole bunch more in our stack as well. We realize England and Argentina are facing off right now. We would still like to hear from you. 913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks. So here's what the scientists are saying. From Health Watch and CBS News, an Alzheimer's blood test may predict who is likely to develop symptoms in 5 to 10 years. A blood test may predict if apparently healthy older adults are likely to develop Alzheimer's symptoms in the next 5 or 10 years, according to researchers today. Now, that information could be reassuring, or it could be terrifying. But for now, it is a potential tool to speed drug development by helping to identify and enroll high-risk people into studies of possible Alzheimer's treatments. Already, large clinical trials are testing if certain drugs could prevent or at least delay the disease. And if any of those pan out, doctors will need an easy way to tell who should try those medications. The scientists behind the new study stress that it's too soon for healthy people to seek out the test. It is called the p-tau-217 test, which is actually currently used to help diagnose whether people experiencing cognitive problems have it. They say it's too early for healthy people to ask for this. However, the new findings showed that symptom-free older adults who harbor very high levels of the p-tau-217 had a 38% risk of developing cognitive impairment over 5 years and a 78% risk of cognitive impairment over 10 years. So would you want, you're perfectly healthy, would you want this p-tau-217 test? 913-586-7798. Let's go to John in Kansas City. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
Hey, go Argentina, go England.
Right?
I have Alzheimer's, so I won't even know who wins. But anyway, that's a bad joke.
John!
Well, okay. Listen, I'm going to be turning 65. Half of me sides with you, Dana, on science. If we think we're having issues, we should alert our family members like Captain Sully, and I feel so bad for him and for his family. On the other hand, I don't really want to know. I'd rather go through life bold and not knowing. And as I go, it's just me.
I think most people would agree with you, John. Most people would agree with you. I think the anxiety I would have and I would expend knowing that this is likely going to be the end, this is what's going to take me, right? I think the anxiety would override any return on investment where I could say, okay, I could eat healthier and sleep better and stop drinking as much. And I think the anxiety would overrule that for me.
And I think I can see both sides of the issue here because, and as you mentioned, there have been studies that have come out there that dietary changes can slow the effects.
Yeah,
not
sugar,
necessarily
sugars.
Reverse them, but, you know, upping certain good healthy fats, good cholesterols, things like that can help slow some of those. But to your point, and while studies do show that you cannot think yourself into an illness, you can think yourself into worsening an illness.
Oh, sure.
It's the somatosensory amplification, the anxiety feedback loop,
sure,
and something called the nocebo effect are all different ways that have been studied. And it's talked about in other early diagnoses as well, where if you, you know, go and get a cancer screening of some kind and they say, well, you show some signs of an increased white cell count that could indicate
that you might get cancer.
Yeah,
everybody freaks out.
You start freaking out and could literally not, I guess not literally, but you could in a way think yourself into making that cancer worse simply through the anxiety of it, through the stress of it.
Listen to this study. This is really neat what they did. The Mass General Brigham team analyzed data from 2,600 older adults who were perfectly healthy when they joined some long-running Alzheimer's studies, okay? 2,684 adults, perfectly healthy. What they did at enrollment was they took a p-tau-217 blood test, okay? Then every year, they had a cognitive checkup. Between the earliest enrollment in 2004 and last year, 478 of all of those participants, of the 2,600, had developed cognitive impairment. Study participants with very low p-tau-217 levels had a low risk of developing cognitive impairment over the 5 to 10 year period. And that is one of the conundrums in predicting Alzheimer's. Lots of people harbor these high levels of amyloid plaques, yet for some reason never get dementia. A leading theory is that at some point, amyloid buildup triggers an abnormal type of these tau particles that get tangled together, leading to symptoms. So sort of like the breast cancer test that you can do and the other Alzheimer's test that I talked about, just because you have the high level of the p-tau-217 doesn't necessarily mean that's going to lead to cognitive impairment. In some of the otherwise healthy adults, though, what was it, 38% within 5 years and then 78% within 10 years,
yeah.
It did. So even then, if it's not, if they could say to me, Sam, you have really high levels of this p-tau-217. My default is going to be to flip out because I know that in a pretty significant percentage of these cases, it does lead to cognitive impairment.
And long-term
it might not.
Long-term increased anxiety would then make that worse, would it not?
If you are the type of person who is a doer and glasses half full, and you could look this in the face and think, it doesn't have to be me. Maybe I'm the one that, you know, in the next 20 years, there's a breakthrough. Maybe I cut down on my processed foods and the sugars and see to what extent I can just live a healthier life. Let the chips fall where they may. I could always get hit by a bus tomorrow, right? I think if you, certain personality types would benefit from the knowledge. I don't know that I'm one of them.
But if that's going to be the change you're going to make, why wouldn't you make those changes without knowing that doom was coming? Because there are so many other positive benefits to making those changes.
It does, but you know, if you've been told again and again that you should quit smoking because it's really bad for your hair, your skin, your lungs, people still don't quit. Some of them try, some of them don't. They just enjoy it. And if they, doctor said to you, look, you have a much higher increased risk of lung cancer if you quit smoking. Look at how many people have been told that by their clinician and continue to smoke. I think if people want to make a healthy change, they do. And if they don't, they don't. Let's go to Dottie in Independence. Hi, Dottie.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
My answer is no.
You wouldn't want to know.
Is, no, I wouldn't want to know. And it doesn't have anything to do with knowing. My sister died from ALS. They had a test that she could take to see if she was genetically disposed, and so could her children. Mm. She didn't do that. The reason is, and it would come with this, every life insurance policy, every health insurance policy, everything would start either canceling, charging, upcharging. They use this information against you.
Oh, sure.
When you have all this, it's kind of like asking if you have alcoholism. They can write a rider on your insurance.
Yeah.
So that's why I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I was waiting.
I wouldn't want to know
because
there's dementia in my husband's family. But that's why, because they'll use it against you.
I was waiting for someone to bring up the insurance angle, Dottie. And it's not that they'll specifically say to you, have you had the p-tau-217 test? They're not going to ask you that. But they can say, some companies can say, is there anything else that you have left out on here that we need to know about that could impact your health? And if you check the box, no, and you have had that p-tau-217 test.
Are you now committing insurance fraud?
Yeah, is that something that could come back to haunt you in 10 years? I don't know. With health insurance? I don't know.
I think we can expand this conversation, too, because as medical science improves, and it will continue to improve,
we're going to be able to find out.
Eventually, they may say, well, you can take this test and find out exactly what day you're going to die, how you're going to die, where it's going to happen. Would you do it?
No way.
And if you could pick one of the three, which would you pick? Knowing that you can't change it.
No.
They can look into your future and they can say, Dana Wright, you're going to die on...
This is your calendar and this is where it ends.
The 31st of January, 2078 at, some random restaurant. Then you're avoiding that restaurant
I would just never go to that restaurant the rest of my life.
If the cause of death was a fork to the eye, you're only eating with spoons for the rest of your life. Would you want to know?
No. But it's a great question. Would you want to know? 913-586-7798. We'll take more of your calls straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks on KMBZ. Coming up here in just a minute on Dana and Parks, what would happen to you if the world's most gigantic cockroach landed on your neck and started crawling around doing the lumbata while you were doing a television interview? We have the audio. We will play it here in a moment. You would need to bring a defibrillator. If what happened to this young woman happened to me, Sam, I'm out and I'm fired because of the words that would come out of my mouth.
This has happened to me.
I don't want to talk about it. We will talk about it. Let's go to Sharon in Kansas City. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I would love to have the test to find out about my the possibility of cognitive decline. My mother had dementia, never moved into Alzheimer's or anything like that. I have hypertension. I am diabetic. My cholesterol is high. I am all kinds of medications to help relieve that. But if I knew then in 5 years, I would have that drop off of like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, where is all this? What's my cat's name? Then I would retire, because I can do that.
Yeah.
I would retire and I would take my 40 whatever that is and my other little bit of nest egg and travel.
I love that you said that, because I think for a lot of people, Sharon, if you knew you had 5 good years left, wouldn't you do every single thing you'd ever wanted to do? And Sam, you might say, well, we should be doing that anyway. Fiscally, that's not possible for most of us. So I'm just going to quit my job and travel the world. But if you knew you had 5 years left before that decline, Sharon, I would absolutely want to travel the world just like you.
Yes, I would, because I would then take photos. And then when I didn't remember, I could go, oh, I went there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Go, wow. That is so cool. I went there. So
would you go skydiving?
You know what? I think I could do that tandem.
What about Rocky Mountain climbing?
You would do all those things. Would you get on a bull named Fu Manchu?
2.7 yes. seconds specifically on a bull named Fu Manchu.
I'm telling you, Sharon, no, I like your attitude.
I couldn't do that, and I have hiked some mountains in Steamboat Springs.
Okay.
And about killed me because of my blood sugar crashing. So,
yep.
You know, if I'm prepared, maybe I could do that.
The other thing, and Sharon, thank you for bringing that up, and I'm sorry about your mom. The other thing that you would be able to do is make sure, as we should all be doing anyway, that all of your affairs are in order. And yeah. I mean, you know, you've got 5 to 10 years before that decline starts.
Your trust,
statistically,
your will.
Get all of that stuff in order.
So, of course, they have studied over and over again the question of, would you want to know when, how, where, and if you'll die?
No way.
The if wasn't part of the study, because we're all going to die. 90% of respondents said, absolutely no way, I don't want to know. 1% said that they would like to hear, certainly, what their future held. The biggest thing that kept people back from saying they would want to know is the anticipated regret. Meaning, if you now have a countdown clock,
yeah.
You're trying to cram so much into that finite time that you're going to miss out on something.
But we all have a countdown clock, to your point, Sam. We all have a countdown clock. So shouldn't you be doing the things you want to do? And wait, your math doesn't add up. 90% of people absolutely don't want to know.
1% absolutely do. The rest are in the middle.
They're in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they even broke it down for, would you want to know when or how? 14% said if they were to know, they would want to know both when and how.
No way.
8% said they would only want to know when and not the cause. 5% said they don't care about the when, they want to know the cause. And again, 73% said
neither.
Don't tell me a dang thing.
Yeah, I don't want to know, and here's why. If you started, this is the stuff horror movies are made out of. If you started talking about the where and the how, you would change the universe's continuum, because to your point, like, let's say someone says to you, it's going to be in 3.5 years on this date at this time in a car wreck.
Yeah.
You would never get in a car again as long as you lived.
What
you
if
would
like,
find a way to change that outcome.
What if it's like walking out of your front door?
Yeah. You would become one of those. Is that agoraphobia?
That's right.
Or you do not leave your house.
And then, of course, it did differ based on age. You want to guess who wanted to know more than who didn't?
People in their 70s or no?
So they found that 40% of young adults aged 18 to 24 checked the box of, yeah, let me know.
Ooh, uh-uh.
Because they think maybe that date would be a good distance in the future. For adults 55 and older, 74% said absolutely, heck no.
Okay.
So the older you get, the less you want to know.
All right, so I have a, I don't want to call it a run, do not walk. But it was definitely, if you guys like scary movies or suspenseful movies or thriller type movies.
Yeah.
Not horror is not what I would call this. We did purchase Backrooms last night. Oh, I've been talking about it for weeks.
Okay.
I wanted to go see it at the theater. A couple of my kids went and saw it at the theater. Here's the word I'm going to use about both Backrooms and Obsession. Both movies were released around the same time. Very young creators in their 20s. Very small budgets. And both movies grossed millions and millions and millions of dollars. Like Obsession, the movie Backrooms is so unsettling.
Ooh, okay, okay.
Like, think
psychological thriller
psychologically
type.
And almost as if you are trapped in a bad dream in a funhouse.
Ooh.
Very unsettling.
Ooh.
I can't even say run, do not walk.
Like, what's behind door number two?
Yeah, I said to Johnny last night, did we like that? Did we like it? I didn't not like it. It's very, very unsettling. And the only way I can describe it is a really, really bad dream that you can't wake up from and you know you don't like it. Whatever's happening, you don't like. You can't quite put your finger on it, but you don't like it.
So a run, do not walk with extreme caution.
Yes.
Make sure it's in your genre. Make sure it's what you like. Okay.
And I think for people who like a nice tidy bow and there's a beginning and a middle and an end, there are some movies that are just mind, it screws with your mind.
Like the movie Smile.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, still one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say yes. It's in the middle. It's very creepy, very unsettling. And I thought it was worth the $20 we spent to rent it. I think we spent 24, actually. It's like, here's what they do to you. It's $19 to rent a movie. It's $24 to buy it. Well, for the extra couple of bucks, somebody else can watch it later, right?
Yeah, because the rental, you get it for, what, 24, 48 hours?
Yeah.
Still much cheaper than going to the theaters. I mean, had you gone to AMC or one of the like, you'd have been spending that on candy alone.
All right, speaking of unsettling, oh my gosh. A reporter at KTLA in Los Angeles is on the air delivering a report. This is during a live segment. And what looks like a flying cockroach lands right where, ladies, your necklace would end here at your, you know, what do you call that, clavicle area.
TV strikes again. An insect made a cameo during one of our KTLA 5 live reports. I love that we said, if you don't like bugs, look away. Now what?
And it's a lot more comfortable at this hour, but we're still in the 80s here in the valley. So overnight temperatures not necessarily dropping. And this leads to less recovery time from the daytime heat. And
describe it, Sam.
So she's standing there with her microphone doing the stand up. Her mic is in her left hand. It's in front of her, but kind of off to the left a little bit.
Oh, it is huge,
too. You see this big old cockroach land right on, I would say, just under her neckline on the right side of her body. It crawls across her chest
and down
before flying away, and she doesn't even flinch.
Nope.
I have to hand it to her. She was really calm.
I don't know if she knew that was there at that point.
So those fly?
Yeah, they do fly. That's like a flying cockroach.
Oh, Eric.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's our Rachel Meditalk.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so then they kept the camera rolling. You know, they cut and the camera's still live.
Yeah, and she's
like, started freaking out, but she kept it cool while she was on the air.
This thing is the size of a Sacagawea.
It's a big boy.
Bigger than a silver dollar.
Yeah. Think like
no
the size of a mouse.
No way would I be able to hold it together.
So,
there's no way.
I had a similar story. I was at a friend's house, and Waldo, ooh, I don't know what is up with Waldo, but there are cockroaches absolutely everywhere, oh, and they are the big flying cockroaches. And we were over there. We were having a good time, barbecuing, all that good stuff. And I grabbed my plate and head inside to go get some more food, and I feel something on the back of my neck. No. And, you know, it's the summer. We live in Kansas City. There's a lot of bugs. I just kind of ignore it. And I'm sitting there scooping food onto my plate, and similar to what happened to this lady, it crawls over my shoulder and down onto my shirt, and I look down, and there is a 2.5-inch cockroach on my shirt, and I just, you know, flicked it off of me, shoot it outside, and went on with my day.
Things generally in nature do not, like, cause panic. I would prefer to not see a cockroach. They're just dirty to me. And I know it's not always like nature happens, right? They're disgusting. I would prefer not to see a mouse. Certainly I could not have one crawl across or skitter across me. At that point, you would be calling 911. But where this cockroach was on her, crawling in, like, it's going down her shirt.
It did, yeah.
There is no way I would have survived that.
Now, I could see where an
absolute heart attack.
If you don't know what it is and you can just kind of feel it walking around on you,
that's even worse.
You kind of leave it alone, but it also jumped up onto her microphone. So then she was fully aware of what was just crawling on her and was stone cold.
Oh my God, it's so disgusting, you guys. 913-586-7798. We will wrap up the hour straight ahead on KMBZ. So can we get a Taco Bell lettuce update? Taco Bell has released a statement today.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we keep bringing this up, and it's not because of the funny guy that says what he says that you keep hearing on our program. It's really not. Although,
are you sure it's not?
I kind of.
Are you telling me you don't want to hear it again?
I kind of maybe do. Everywhere I go, this is what people are talking about. I was with my girlfriends all morning long, and one of them said to me,
do you have
explosive watery diarrhea?
And you said no. That's why I'm here.
We started talking about it, and I said, I'm telling you, girls, it's lettuce. Stay away from the bagged shredded lettuce. They don't quite know yet, but they're zeroing in on bagged lettuce. If you're going to make a salad tonight, grab the old school $2 head of lettuce from the store, wash it thoroughly, cut it up. There's your salad. And one of the women looks at me and she goes, well, you know, so-and-so had to go home this morning because, you know.
Explosive watery diarrhea.
Yeah.
Consumers worried about the growing outbreak. Yeah. And if you're in Michigan, God bless you. It's basically the entire state has the poops right now in Michigan.
Thousands.
The illness can cause long-lasting bouts of this thing, leading to severe dehydration. So super young children, older adults, people who are immunocompromised, that's not good for them. Public health officials say it's difficult to dispense safety advice because key details about the outbreak remain unknown, leaving the public largely flying blind. Taco Bell released a statement today.
Explosive watery diarrhea.
As they are now being investigated as part of the Cyclospora parasite outbreak.
Okay, seriously?
There's an investigation.
Just an investigation, Sam.
Whether they are connected or not.
Well, here, let me go ahead and just finish the investigation for you. Is Taco Bell connected to diarrhea?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Every day.
Taco Bell.
All day.
Taco Bell has reportedly removed lettuce, cilantro, pico de gallo, and guacamole from its menus.
They're being proactive.
As a precaution.
Yeah, just in case. Public safety.
Now listen to this.
No other proactives make you go too.
Michigan's health department has pointed to lettuce or other salad greens as a potential source of the outbreak in Michigan, but said some people infected with the parasite did not make a run for the border. So I mean, honestly, they just don't know.
And it's confusing the public, I think, that Taco Bell is in the headlines. They're a company, a restaurant chain that is just being proactive.
You know what I'm doing, Dan? I ain't eating no salad. You know what? No. Give me a burger. Leave me alone. I'm not eating salad till they figure this out.
I had a bagged salad kit last night.
Nope.
I'll not let you know
it.
In a week.
No, it's like,
how I'm doing.
That's the other problem. It takes 2 to 3 weeks for the, you know.
I also think that there's probably many more cases out there than what is being reported, because I don't think every single time you get cyclosporiasis.
Sam, if you have that thing going on for 3 weeks, I'm sorry, your boss is going to want a doctor's note.
You, I think, are underestimating how many people live with that every day because of the way that they treat their bodies.
What do you think the doctor's note would say?
It was a big ass boom. You don't want him there, y'all.
Would say, we're going to require Samuel Stevie stay home, stay away from any lettuce or Taco Bell as a precaution. And you're welcome that
you're
he's
right,
not coming into work.
Hey, thank you, by the way. Don't be talking bad about Taco Bell. That's the only place that you can still get gas under $3.
Womp, womp.
Also, everybody's been trying to lose weight.
They don't know that it's Taco
Geo
Bell.
One, whatever you
but
call
if
it.
You go to Taco Bell, you might not see some of those very popular menu items right now until they figure it out.
And in all seriousness, if you have uncontrollable, explosive, watery diarrhea, go see a doctor. And if you're going to, like me, and you're not going to go see a doctor, drink a lot of water because the dehydration is a problem.
Okay, good to know. When we get back, hey, we have an update on that heroic grandpa that got yeeted into the air by the bison. You've all seen the video by now. I mean, he got tossed. Yeah.
He's heroic?
They keep saying it's only 8 feet. That video, he looks like he made probably 15 feet in the air.
He was way up there. But there's a new detail that has emerged today. Remember yesterday, we were like, nobody did anything wrong.
He's so innocent. He was just standing in the tree line.
Are we sure about that? We have an update on Grandpa Bison Buns because
he said, bye, son.
He got the short end of that stick, didn't he? And we'll tell you about it after the news with Dan Weinbaum here on Dana and Park. Stick with us.
If you could take a second to help us out with our school supply drive, we would greatly appreciate it. When a child enters foster care, they often arrive with nothing. No suitcase, no school supplies, no sense of stability. Foster Adopt Connect exists to change that through real-world support, education, advocacy that helps kids thrive, not just survive. KMBZ and Pinnacle Bank are working alongside Foster Adopt Connect to help them to make sure that every child starts this school year with dignity. A backpack is not just school supplies, it can help with confidence. Each year, Foster Adopt Connect school supply drive gives foster kids what they need for a strong start to the school year. Go to KMBZ.com, look for the school supply link on our homepage. You can donate money on that link to sponsor a backpack, or when you're going out and you are picking up school supplies for your children, grab a few extra items, drop them off at one of three locations. All of the details, KMBZ.com. Look for the school supplies link.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.